You're listening to Cross the Border. Welcome back. When we left, we were talking about how when men forsake the law of God, the law of Yahweh, and they turn to idols, how they lose the love for their neighbor, the commandment, you shall love your neighbors yourself, and the land becomes filled with violence, and the epitome of that violence or hatred toward your neighbor is homosexuality. And I was also talking about suicide and how when people become idolatrous, they start doing violence to their neighbors, their conscience becomes seared, and perhaps because they can't live with it, they turn to drugs and alcohol and suicide, which is a companion. Basically, you'll always find that there's drugs or alcohol because there are demons out there that seek to gain influence, and their object is to kill, steal, and destroy. If they can get you to end your own life, well, they're just as happy to do with it. He says, they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. I don't know what that means. Therefore, I also will deal in fury with mine eye. Deal in fury, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, for though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. And that's where we ended up talking about suicide, because those that, you know, though they seek, they cry because they're sorry they got caught, or they're sorry that they're being judged. A judgment has come upon them, and now they have to pay the price. That's not true repentance. And those who do not repent now, in the time when there is no trouble, in the time when there is no judgment, they can truly repent and turn from their wicked ways and learn what it means. If you love me, keep my commandments. And learn what that means. Then when the day of judgment comes, they will have no need to cry. But he says, when that day comes, if you've been living the way these people have been living in violence toward your, hating your brother without a cause, that's violence. Idolatry, worshiping false gods, worshiping the state, living your life inebriated under drugs and alcohol, whatever your idol is that you place before him, whatever those things are or that big thing is that separates you from the Maker, the Almighty. Yeah, there's something. If you're not following him, there is some big thing in your life that you love more than him, that you place between you and him. It's separating. And you know, everyone knows what it is. Take a minute and think. You know, if you're not close to the Almighty, if you're not following after him with all your heart, just ask yourself that one question. What is the thing? What is it that's separating me from God Almighty, from the Almighty God? What is it? And his Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, because his Holy Spirit, that's his primary function, is to convict you of sin. And then you get to decide whether you're going to blaspheme his Holy Spirit and ignore it and not allow him to work in your life. And there's no forgiveness when that happens. That's right. You do that, you don't receive forgiveness. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. Most people won't even get to that point where they question themselves. Nah, shake it off. No, no, there is no God. He's forsaken us. And all the things that these people here are saying and before the judgment of Babylon comes, even till the bitter end, they stuck to their idolatrous ways and would not repent. We get to chapter 9 and verse 1. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, of whereupon he was. to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yahweh said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of her. See, there is a remnant in the midst of Jerusalem, people that are sighing and crying. You walk by, you see abominations, and you go, oh, not for Tammuz, but for the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. Verse 5, chapter 9. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and that is the mark. See, he marks us. If you sigh and you moan and you weep for the abomination that goes on around you, you know, I have occasion, and I go into some of the local congregations occasionally, and I sigh, and my spirit weeps because of Ashtaroth, because of the idolatry of state. And I see the young people with holes in their ears and rings in their lips and cuttings on their bodies and marks. And I see the young women with their breasts showing and their backs open. And I see the men in shorts and with abominable writings on their clothes. And it's very sad. And then I hear the preachers preach a watered-down, truncated gospel. And I hear them parrot the popular counter-reformation eschatology of the great whore. They've forsaken the law of God. And they talk a tough game, but the reality is they're far from him. I want that mark upon me. When he says, go through the house and mark the foreheads of men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst. I'm here, and I'm sighing, and I am crying for the abominations, especially in the corporate congregations. Many people in there, well-intentioned, but deceived, being led, misled by blind leaders of the blind. And this is the judgment. Go after him through the city and smite. See, he has put a mark on those that are his. He has put a mark on the remnant that care for his statutes and his judgments. Those that hate the pollutions of idols. Those that hate the strange fire. He's put a mark on us. And we have a mark on us. And when the destroyer comes, and it will come, his mark is upon us, and we can be spared. He said to the others, go after him, and after him who did the mark, who marked the remnant, through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. And you know how it is when the sword comes, when the wrath of the enemy is upon you. Yes, the sword of the Lord. That's what Yahuwah said about Babylon. Said, Babylon is a sword in my hand to execute judgment. So here comes the sword. He said, let your eyes spare not, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, maids and little children, and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. He said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And see, it was against the house. They had defiled the temple, the house of Yahweh. They had defiled it with all of their abominations. Now he brings an enemy to defile it with their dead carcasses. That's right. Any man who touched the dead was defiled. How much more a dead man in the house in the temple. Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. So they started at the house, and then they went to the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them. See, this is a vision Ezekiel's having of what's coming, what is being wielded by the Almighty as his sword. The Babylonians would come in. It came to pass as they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, Yahuwah has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. Look at your way. You want a recompense upon your head for the things that you are doing? Do you hate your brother without a cause? Do you oppress the motherless, the orphan, the widow, and the widower? Do you covet that which is your neighbor's, though you have plenty? I will recompense their way upon their head. Verse 11, And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spoke unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thy hand with the coals of fire from beneath, from between the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of Yahuwah went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of Yahuwah's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims into the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it in the hand of him that was clothed with white linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. And their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and their wheels, were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. For as the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel! And every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, the second face was the face of a man, and the third was the face of a lion, and the fourth was the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Chebar. Now, I don't believe that this is alien spacecraft or anything like that. that is very popular today out there in the world, and all the prophets that the world have. You can see those guys, you know, and they have their movies like Zeitgeist and some of these other things, you know, the spirit of the age. Zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. That's not the spirit of Yahuwah. That's a different spirit. That's a demonic spirit. Anyway, and they'll try to pass this off as UFOs and all this stuff, and then we're waiting for the aliens to come and help us, right? Or something. And yes, I believe there are demons that are willing to accommodate all these people that like to go off on these other trails and forget God, because basically what they say is that Yahuwah does not see, God does not see, he has forgotten us, he's away on a long journey, he just, you know, he started the old top spinning and he just left, and you know, here we are to determine our own fate, and perhaps some aliens will come from another planet that seeded us here a long time ago, and all of these fantasies that they come up with. So I don't believe in any of that. I believe that our friend Ezekiel here is trying to relay, express, draw a picture of, you know, in words, of that which he has seen, and something from the heavenly realm and not from this realm. Something he's seeing that is not of the nature that we know here by science and by our senses. And so I'm not going to speculate any further upon that. I don't really like very much speculation. Our Heavenly Father, he gave us the ability to imagine, to speculate for a purpose. But when that speculation and that imagination leads to the worship of idols, and it takes us away from his word and his commandments and his law, then we are indeed following the doctrines of demons. Continuing here in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 16. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them, and when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood, and when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of Yahuwah departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of Yahuwah's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Every one had four faces apiece, and every one four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Chebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went every one straight forward. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up. Chapter 11, verse 1. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of Yahuwah's house, which looketh eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jaazaniah, the son of Azur, and Petaiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, It is not near. Let us build houses, and what is not near our destruction, you know, the judgment of God, it is not near, which say it is not near. So basically, these are the popular prophets of the day. You know, the guys who write those books like Left Behind and The Late Great Planet Earth and teach all that false prophecy out there. Yeah, these are the ones that say it's not near. We'll be saved. You'll be raptured out. It's pretty smooth words. And that's what they were giving. It is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Ooh, just gives me the shivers. Verse 4, therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith Yahweh. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. He knows what comes into your mind. You know, that's where the image, the worship of images begins, in your mind, with your imagination. First, they imagine that God is not near, that he doesn't see, that he, you know, I like some of these evolutionists, you know, they say, well, yes, I believe God used evolution and he started this whole process, you know, however millions of years ago. And then here we are today. God is not near. He's just some old guy, some spirit being, or that he is the earth and we are his mind and, you know, all this nonsense. These are the things they imagine. And then they imagine them and see their pride says, well, because I imagined it, it must be true. Because I imagined it, it must be true. How old are you? Were you around when the world was created? You know, because I imagined it, it must be true. That's what these people think very highly of themselves. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back. Continue in Ezekiel. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you.